Hi there, great that you can join us here at Gisborne Church today. And this morning I'd like to share with you some thoughts from John chapter 15, a passage where Jesus speaks to his disciples about the process that we go through of fruitfulness, pruning, maybe some time of dormancy, regrowth, and greater fruitfulness. And this is like a cycle that Jesus speaks about that goes on in our spiritual life, that if we're not really aware of it, we may misunderstand seasons of pruning, seasons of dormancy, because the kind of model that he's using from an agrarian society, talking about gardening and farming and these kinds of things, can be very foreign to our modern technological mindset. But Jesus gives us what he describes as sort of some inside information about the way that these seasons work in the spiritual life. He says he no longer calls us servants, but because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, he says, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So in this passage, that's verse 15, in this passage, we're going to look at some of the like inside information that Jesus gave us about the about this process of fruitfulness, pruning, regrowth, and greater fruitfulness that we can expect to take place in our Christian life. And when you think about this whole idea of pruning, I wonder if some kind of image comes to your mind, maybe from your own experience in gardening and so forth. I know the image that comes to my mind about pruning goes back a long, long time when me and my wife and kids, we moved into a house in the inner city. And it was a house that we were using in association with a ministry we were involved in. And it was a very, very dilapidated old weatherboard house. You know, when you first looked at it, you would see, you know, the flaking paint on the weatherboards, the cracked concrete in the driveway, the sort of patchy lawn, very straggly bushes around the place. Fence could have done with some love and attention as well. But the sort of redeeming feature of the facade of this house was this row of rose bushes, which although they were pretty old and gnarled, the stems of the bushes, they did produce some really, really stunning flowers that were that sort of lifted when they were in bloom, lifted the appearance of the house. And anyway, one day I got home one evening and I looked and all these rose bushes had disappeared. And so a closer inspection showed that, yes, there were these little stumps poking out of the ground where the rose bushes used to be. And what had happened during the day is my my wife Rhonda had decided to take to these rose bushes with the secateurs, and she had cut them right back virtually to the ground. And so, you know, when I stood there and looked at them, I thought, oh, well, that's the end of them. Maybe she's wrecked them. But she was saying, no, no need to worry. The roses are going to grow back even better. And of course, she was right. So some months later, where these old gnarled bushes had been, all of this new growth came forth. And now the stems and branches of the rose bushes were you know, alive and supple and soft, and they were producing beautiful leaves and even more flowers and more stunning flowers than they had the year before. So what looked like a sort of a bit of an aggressive, violent act to me against the rose bushes was actually carried out with loving intent. It was actually carried out with the purpose that the roses would produce even better foliage, even better leaves than they had the year before. And in fact, people who know about roses would know that they need to be regularly pruned. So what you have after this season of pruning is a fresh expression of the same plants. And inside the stem and the root system that are under the ground, the actual nature of the plant remains, because that's coded into the DNA of the plant. And so when it's cut back, it begins to, you know, draw moisture and minerals out of the soil and start to create new cells. And then the plant begins to grow again. The plant has the same DNA. It may look different. It may have more spectacular flowers, but the actual core essence of the plant is the same. And Jesus uses this kind of idea to talk to us about our own spiritual development, our ministry, and the way that we would bear fruit for him in his kingdom. And he wants us to understand the cyclical nature of the way our spiritual walk often unfolds as we go forward. And not to sort of think in a Western mindset of, ongoing success. You know, we tend to think, the way that we're sort of conditioned to think is, every year should be more successful than the last. Every business should make more and more money every year. A down or a dip in the bottom line, of course, is a failure in the business world. It could be the same in many other endeavors, many other careers. We sort of have this expectation of continual growth means increasing productivity, increasing output, increasing appearance of prosperity, whatever it is on the outside, all the time. Jesus sort of brings a contrast to this, because in this parable he talks about the way that fruitfulness is actually comes in cycles, and dormancy is just a built-in part of your spiritual life and my spiritual life. So it may be that at certain times in your Christian life you've experienced times where it's felt like God is really moving. It's felt like stuff is really happening, maybe in your ministry or in the ministry of the church that you're involved in, or simply in your own personal growth. God is outwardly really doing a lot of things. You can see the evidence of it. It's exciting. It's encouraging. Feels like you're going somewhere. And then you find in another season that that's not so much the case. And, you might wonder, well, where's God in this now? You know, why have things changed? Why have things gone quiet? Why aren't I so productive? Why aren't I so effective? Why don't I feel like, I'm really going forward in my Christian life? And so, if we don't understand this cycle that Jesus talks about in John 15, we may start to feel like, something's wrong. Whereas the people that Jesus spoke to would naturally really understand what he was talking about, because they were situated in a society and a culture that was much more dependent on the cycles of nature. They really would understand this process of pruning and regrowth. They understood in agriculture that they would use a field to produce crops for 6 years, but on the seventh year they would let it lie fallow, because they respected this cycle of nature that the soil needed to be replenished. In our society, we just spray more fertilizer on it and just keep going, because we have to be productive. We've sort of in the last few decades lost some of the rhythm in our week, because we don't so clearly have a downtime on the weekend that we used to. It's becoming much more a 24/7 kind of process that goes on in our society, because we can't really afford to breathe. We can't really afford to stop, because we have to be more and more productive. So it's interesting to sort of step back and realize, well, God's kingdom doesn't always work like that. And sometimes there are downtimes that are actually orchestrated by God for our good in the long term. And if we understand that, it can be very helpful when a downtime comes to know what's going on. So this is why Jesus said in verse 15 of this passage that we're coming to, he's let us in. He's let us in to understand a process. So hopefully, as we just open up this passage, we can come to understand clearly the process that God wants to take us through. So John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. So just bearing this sort of idea of pruning and regrowth in mind, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener," or the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So we see this up front, that this idea of pruning is completely in the plan and purposes of God. So we have this metaphor, not of a rose bush, but of a grapevine. And Jesus talks about the fact that he is the vine. And so each of us is a branch of the vine. So as we read through this passage, we need to picture ourselves for the sake of what Jesus wants us to get out of this metaphor, that you and I are each a branch in the vine, and the vine is Jesus. And each of us as a branch in the vine is destined to bear fruit. And Jesus will sum this up at the end in verse 16, where he says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So each of these branches in the vine has been appointed to bear fruit, or you have got an appointment to bear fruit in your life for God's kingdom. He's destined you to be a fruit bearer in his kingdom. And this fruit bearing occurs through connection and dependence on the vine, who is Jesus. There's a couple of other aspects that are important to this this metaphor. One of them would be, of course, the sap, the flow of moisture and nutrients that comes from the roots out of the soil up through the vine, who is Jesus, and out into the branches. And you know, we can liken this for the sake of this metaphor to the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is at work in our lives to form the character of Christ and cause us to be effective in the things that he has called us to do. So the fruit bearing is caused by the flow of life that comes from Jesus into us through the person of the Holy Spirit. The other person, of course, in this metaphor is the Father. And Jesus talks about him as being the vine dresser, the vine dresser, or the gardener, or the husbandman, who is the person in the wine business who has the passion and the purpose to make every single branch in the vine as productive as possible. He wants each branch in the vine to bear a lot of fruit every season. So he is a person who has learned the skills of knowing, you know, where to trim each particular branch, what to leave, what to remove, what time of year to do it, so that the branch will bear as much fruit as possible, fulfill its total potential. So this is a careful, loving, tender act that might seem to the unsuspecting person, you know, why is that guy cutting off all of that growth off his vine? He's been trying to grow it and now he's hacking into it. Doesn't make sense. But he understands the balance that has to be established to cause the maximum production of fruit. If the vine is allowed to go wild and just grow and grow and grow and grow, the branches become all long and straggly, the capacity the effect of the nutrients is dissipated so much through this ever increasingly bigger plant that the productivity actually diminishes or is slowed right down over time. So we have this picture: Jesus the vine, where the branches, the Holy Spirit working through the vine, and the Father tending the vine to ensure maximum fruitfulness. But then Jesus says this, like as we have this picture in our mind, he says, which of course is here is new from the natural world, every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So the message that Jesus is saying here to each of us is that if we have a season of fruitfulness in our spiritual life, the consequence of that is that we are going to be pruned. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So sometimes in our spiritual journey, if we are being productive, we are being fruitful in our spiritual life, and the Father says, hey, you know, I want that fruitfulness to be increased. It doesn't necessarily get ramped up immediately. Sometimes there is a pruning back so that there is a time for reflection, there's a time for prayer, there's a time for processing different things. And the work of God turns from this outward production of fruit to this inward work of transformation and preparation for a fresh expression. The same as the rose bushes had a fresh expression after my wife pruned them back. The same as the vine in this metaphor has a fresh expression after the vine dresser prunes them back. You and I will have a fresh expression of who we are in Christ after we get pruned back, perhaps go through a season of dormancy or partial dormancy or less productivity in one area or another. Not all pruning is as violent as the rosebush story. Some of it's more like trimming, but nevertheless, there can be a trimming back of certain things in your life so that you can be more fruitful in the months and years to come in the next season. What you don't lose is your DNA. You don't lose who you are. You don't lose who God's made you to be. So over the course of your spiritual journey, you know, you've received certain revelation from the Father. Over the course of the journey, you've come to understand certain truths. You've had certain spiritual gifts activated in your life. You've learned certain things about engagement with God through prayer and worship and these kinds of things. You've gotten insights into the Word as you've studied it. None of this is lost. All of that is there, just as the DNA of the rose bush was still there in the stump, just as the DNA of the branch is still there when it gets pruned back. So sort of the DNA, your identity in Christ, remains, just waiting for a new opportunity for fresh expression in another season to be brought about in the time of the Father's choosing. So depending on our mental image of productivity, this kind of removal of outward signs of life, which is what pruning really is, could be quite distressing if you don't understand what exactly is going on. It could be something that caused you a lot of concern if you don't, anticipate it and understand it, which is why Jesus is bringing this kind of insider information to his listeners in this parable. And of course, on another dimension, as we talk about this year, we're talking about our church going through this kind of process of transition. And not only that, but it's coupled with this pandemic, which causes the church to be perhaps have less opportunity to bear fruit in this season, or different opportunities and certain things we could do, we can't do, and so forth. So it can be like an imposed season of dormancy to an extent. But the Father is still working on the inside. The Holy Spirit is still working on the inside. The DNA of the congregation is still there. And, as we've been, going through these this heritage task and talking to different people and doing surveys and, trying to get, our heads around a clear understanding of the church's identity, we have identified certain things, about in this church, like the passion for building deep family-like relationships. We've seen the desire to reach out into the community, the importance placed on engaging with God through prayer and worship, and different other things like this. These are embedded in the DNA of the organization, and so these are ready for the Father to activate in another way in another season. So there can be a pruning that might appear to come from outward circumstances, sometimes might appear to come from left field for no reason at other times. But notwithstanding the reason, in a down season, God is working on the inside to prepare us for a season that is coming. So this is not a consequence of failure when you get pruned. It's a consequence of fruitfulness. When you bear fruit, you'll be pruned so that you'll bear even more fruit. So just a couple of things that we can pick up about this, about how to handle a season of pruning. One is to realize that this is not a rejection by God, even though he said that he will prune the fruitful person in order to bear more fruit. He reinforces this in John 15, in the next verse, in verse 3. He says, "You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So in a season of pruning, you know, it's not to feel like somehow, you know, God has pushed you aside because of some deficiency in you that he has found. And, you know, like he may see you as unclean or has rejected you for some reason. No, as Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And you've been clean from the moment that you received Jesus. That's the power of Jesus' blood. That's the power of identifying with his death and resurrection with our faith. So pruning is not God's rejection of you. A loss of fruitfulness in your life in some season is not God's rejection of you. It's actually his affirmation of the fruitfulness that's gone before, and his decision to prepare you for even greater fruitfulness in the future. So you must resist that tendency maybe to feel rejected or pushed aside by God if there's a lack of fruitfulness. And then Jesus goes on and talks about some keys to staying engaged, staying connected, staying the course, not being discouraged in a season where there is an outward sign of fruitfulness. Maybe it feels like your ministry has gone into a place of dormancy, or your personal growth, or something else that you're believing to God to do through you. There seems to be some kind of a sense of dormancy there. Well, Jesus speaks about some responses that we can make, and just summing them up here, he talks about remaining in him, letting his word remain in you, and remaining in Jesus' love. So we can identify the place where we need to remain in a dormant season, so that we are participating with the process that that the Father is wanting to achieve on the inside for the purpose of greater fruitfulness. This is like the inside information that Jesus is giving to you and me about seasons of pruning. Seasons of pruning are seasons of preparation for greater fruitfulness. So the first thing he says in verse 4 of John 15 is, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." So this is really a call to us to remain connected. So if you might feel right now that you're in a season of dormancy, or your ministry, or the life of the church you're involved in is in a season of dormancy, it's easy to cool off. It's easy to not bother tuning in so carefully. It's easy to back off spending time in your relationship with Jesus, because it doesn't really seem to be the opportunity for the outworking of that in your day-to-day life. It's easy to neglect these things. Well, Jesus is encouraging us, hey, remain in me. Continue to pursue your relationship with me. This is a time to actually say, hey, it's important to gather. Even if it's on Zoom, it's important to gather. It's important to stay connected. It's important to intentionally make space for the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's important to stay connected with Jesus. It's important to be faithful to the detailed parts of our relationship and not to neglect them. So this is a powerful invitation by Jesus. Hey, remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, he says in verse 4. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I always find that's quite a very clear and categorical statement that Jesus makes. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Thought about that and thought, you know, yeah, you know, there's certain things that we can do when we feel disengaged from Jesus, but the important things, the eternal things, the things that remain, the things that are really fruit of God's kingdom, the things that will see you spiritually flourish are things you cannot accomplish alone. They're things that you accomplish in union with Jesus, in dependence on on him, in connection with him is where these really important things that God wants to do through you are accomplished. So the next thing he says in verse 7 is, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So here is the second thing is Jesus talking about here is letting his words remain in you. And you know, we're so privileged because these guys that were gathered around Jesus, who listened to everything he said for 3.5 years, wrote down their experiences and recorded the really important things that he said that were going to keep us on track, even 20 centuries later. The words of Jesus are so powerful, recorded in the Gospels, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's good just to, you know, read the red text if you've got a red letter Bible. And just listen to the words of Jesus. He says, let my words remain in you. In another place in John chapter 6, verse 63, he said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we have this idea of allowing Jesus to keep speaking into our life. And, you know, God has spoken different things to you. Maybe he's quickened a scripture before. Maybe as you sit down and just spend time in his word in a habitual way, you know, you read for a while, but then something God really speaks to you. The Holy Spirit brings to life. It's really a timely word from Jesus to you. You know, these are things that we need to let remain in us. A prophetic word that you know, is tested and you understand comes from God. Hold that close and allow that word to take root in your life as well. This is a context, Jesus says, for answered prayer. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, because you will be asking according to his will because of the presence of his word in your life, in your heart, and you'll be praying out of that place of your understanding of God's will as it's been revealed to you. The third thing he says is remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is wanting his joy, the most joyful person who ever lived, according to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. He's saying he wants his joy to remain in you, his joy to remain in me, so that our joy may be complete. The way through this is abiding in Jesus, letting his word abide in you, and abiding in his love. Building relationships around you, filled with Jesus' love, continuing to serve and love others, to serve and love Jesus, to let his word remain in you. They're simple things, but these are the important things that Jesus identified about seasons where there's fruitlessness. You don't feel so fruitful. You feel like there's dormancy. And say, look, don't panic about it. It's actually the hand of the Father. He's actually come with very caring, very loving process of trimming here, trimming there, trimming there, trimming the vine, trimming the branch. You're a branch in the vine. He's come and trimmed it. And the opportunity for fruitfulness is reduced when the length of the branch is reduced, or some side little branch is cut off. Well, it can't bear fruit anymore, but the DNA is there on the inside of you, waiting to be reactivated by the Holy Spirit for another season. This is the inside information that Jesus wants you to have. He speaks about this in verse 15. As I mentioned earlier, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He doesn't want us to be in the dark about seasons of pruning and dormancy, regrowth and fruitfulness. No, no, no. He says, I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So in summing up of this parable, this metaphor about the vine that Jesus described, he says, he reinforces to these people listening to him, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. What this metaphor has opened up is that the fruit bearing is cyclical. It happens in cycles, and that's okay. So God will take you through a season where you're fruitful. Then he might do some pruning, feel a bit unfruitful, you feel a bit dormant, you sense a loss of opportunity, and you may, think, what's happened? This is a disaster. But Jesus is saying, hey, no. Let me give you the inside information about this. This is the hand of God in your life, because he wants you to be more fruitful in the future. Just remain in me. Let my words remain in you. Remain in my love. Know that you are already clean because the word I spoke to you. Know that this is God's will, God's purpose just unfolding in your life. The big key in this season is to stay connected. Stay connected with Jesus. Stay open to his word and what he's speaking into your life, and continue to remain in his love, to walk in his love. And just nurture that opportunity with that that relationship with him and that relationship with others. So let's just pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We are so thankful for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this metaphor that Jesus shared about the journey that each of us is on. Lord, that it goes through seasons of fruitfulness, dormancy, and greater fruitfulness. And Lord, wherever we might be in that process, depending on the issue in our life, we just pray that, Lord, we would be a people that hang in there with you, that stay connected. Lord, that allow your word to abide in our heart. Lord, that continue to walk in your love. And Lord, continue to know that we have been appointed to bear fruit, fruit that comes in seasons and fruit that remains. God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll catch up soon.